The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Timothy. Good to see you all here. Today is the day of Pentecost, so you see some colors have changed. And today we remember the Bible passage in Acts 2. But the Spirit comes rushing in as a whirlwind. And, it's given to the disciples, to the church, to fill them and to sanctify them and then bring about the good news, the growth of God's Word. And we'll hear more about that today. Just a quick note, yes, we're still doing full masks for service today, but we'll have an announcement at the end, changing some of our guidelines based on the guidelines of the state. So we'll get to that at the end of service. I don't think I have anything else beforehand. Let's just continue by singing our first hymn on our first page. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We say. Spirit to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for our readings. Our psalm for today comes from Psalm 139, and we speak responsibly. O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before the word was on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether.
You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it.
Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
even there your hand shall guide me, and your right hand shall hold me.
if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night.
Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day, for the darkness is as light with you.
The Old Testament reading for the day of Pentecost comes from the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around them, among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked. And behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, my son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading comes from the second chapter of Acts. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own language, tongues, the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. He will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. We sing our hymn, Praise the Lord, the Almighty. Please be seated. Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who together sends the Holy Spirit to fill us, to sanctify us, to make us holy, all in his truth. Amen. Today, we celebrate the day of Pentecost, and more profoundly, our church transitions into the second half of the church year. I was reminded of it the other week, actually. You see, because since Advent, since the time of Christmas at the end of November, we've been focused on our Sundays around the life of Jesus, of course, going through his ministry, his early life, you know, ministry, and then all the way leading to his death and his resurrection, and then finally up to his ascension. The day of Pentecost moves the church from Jesus Christ's life on earth to the Spirit's work and pointing us back to Jesus and pointing the church back to Christ. And the day of Pentecost is that promise of Jesus to send the Holy Spirit, the one who would fill the church and to enliven it. The day of Pentecost is the Spirit's work in the church. And it's really profound, because now in these days, since from these days on, we remember the Pentecost and we go on, and you can think of it, if you remember these things, that it seems to drag on forever. We get to the 15th, the 17th day after the Sunday after Pentecost. And it's because it's this time of the church to be in the world, to be in the Spirit. It's about the church's business of living in the world, to declare God's reality over the world and what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. And we do that only by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that lives in us. But our tradition, our Lutheran tradition even, has been too silent, I think, or at least slow to respond to the importance of the Holy Spirit, especially as he is the one who gives the church life. And often this third person of the Trinity, this third person who is God, is mentioned in a footnote, laid aside and only useful when we're talking about God and three persons, talking about the Trinity. I mean, we know that the Holy Spirit would rather have it where he points us back to Christ. And that's what our Christian tradition and our Christian teachings have always instructed us, that the Spirit is the one who glorifies Christ. Even Jesus himself in John declares that he glorifies me. However, the process maybe is expedited too much, and we forget the importance of the Holy Spirit's role in our lives and how the Holy Spirit is the person who is presently active in our lives today. And it's he who gives us the knowledge and strength to hold on to the promises of Christ. He's the one who's active in the church. So what do we say about the Holy Spirit? We heard it in our readings today. The scriptures are obviously our first look to the names and given to the Holy Spirit. As Jesus tells us, he's a gift that he breathes on the disciples, and they receive him in John. And on this day, the Pentecost in Acts, we see the Spirit rush in like a wind, and the apostles are filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is giving them little lights that are lit on their head, and they start speaking in different languages to the languages of the places they will go. We describe the Spirit as a helper. Jesus speaks that he will send a helper to keep his people firm in the faith. And we also hear that the Spirit is a guide, that the Spirit is the one that leads Christian people along the right path and along the right way. I suppose all these descriptions that Jesus gives are good to describe this Holy Spirit. They are from him. But I can't help but wonder what those descriptors, those ways of identifying him, mean for us today. And the reason I say that is because for us, who call the Holy Spirit a gift, a helper, a guide. Sometimes it gives off the impression that the Holy Spirit is simply at my disposal. That's to say that the Holy Spirit is helpful when we think we need Him. And just think about it. When someone gives you a gift, sometimes the gift is useful or it's not. Sometimes it's that kind of gift you get from a family or a friend who went to travel, and in fact, it's more junk added to the pile. And sometimes that gift gets put in the top shelf in your closet until one day you figure out, oh, this might be of some use, and then you're able to pull it out. Or sometimes if we think of helpers, we are well aware of what helpers are. You turn to your therapist, a doctor, a mechanic, the employee at the grocery store when you need help finding something, getting something worked on, getting something fixed. We're pretty well aware of what helpers do. But if you don't need help, why bother getting help? Or when we think of the Holy Spirit as a guide, a guide is something you need for directions to find your way on a trail or through the city. Or a guide is someone who takes you and directs you through the terrain and knows the area. But once you know your way, once the guide has done its work, then why bother with a guide? These identifiers we give to the Holy Spirit are scriptural. Jesus calls them these things. But I think within our own understanding of what those terms mean, they might become a little unhelpful. Because the fact of the matter is the Holy Spirit is not at your disposal. And we attribute the wrong notions when we think that the Holy Spirit is there to be a gift, a helper, and guide at our disposal when we want to use Him or need Him. Because if the Spirit of God is simply when I want Him, at my disposal, then I'm the one who dictates when He's useful. And I'm the one who acts on Him. When in fact, the opposite is true. The Spirit acts on us. And the Spirit of God is the one who actually uses us. So maybe there's another way we can talk about the Spirit as a gift, as a helper, as a guide, that would get after the Spirit's activity in our lives and in His church. A teacher of mine put it this way for us. He said, imagine that the Spirit of God is a possessor. Imagine with me then that you are people who are possessed. You are possessed. And maybe you're wiggling in your seat a bit. I don't know. I understand. That word possession is not used very positively. Because when you hear that word possession, you probably think of those horror movies, those scary movies with the demon-possessed person like The Exorcist. Or you might think of those biblical stories where Jesus encounters the man at the tomb who's possessed by a legion of demons. And you know how this story goes. This man's living among dead people, among the tombs, among the graveyard. And then Jesus comes across, and this guy who's possessed by these demons starts cursing him out. He's unable to be held down by any chains and is out of control. Jesus calls on the name of God and banishes those demons into a herd of pigs who throw themselves off the cliff. Possession is not a word we like. We don't like it because the word in possession implies that me, myself, I no longer have control of what I do. I'm beholden to someone else, and I'm under their control to do whatever they wish. I'm bent to the will of the one who possesses me. Possession gives off that notion of ownership and even slavery to someone else. Possession is to be bound to the will of someone, and you have no control of what they make you do. possession's not an ideal place to be. Especially for us who live in such a great nation where we pride ourselves on independence and freedom. We're the type of people who pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, who fight against the oppressors and those who wish to possess us. So to be controlled by someone else, to be beholden to another's desires and forced to do their bidding, well, that's just being helpless. That's in bondage to someone. It's enslavement. But imagine, if you are possessed by the Spirit of the living God, the God who is good and right. Well, it doesn't take a lot to imagine, because that's what happened on Pentecost. If you remember from our reading in Acts 2, the Spirit rushed in and filled the room, filling the disciples with the Holy Spirit, and the apostles were speaking in tongues of different languages with a light lit on their head, and they were able to preach and proclaim the good news of God's promises in Jesus Christ. People thought they looked like people with fresh wine, that they were drunkards. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit later, will preach to the people, and 3,000 souls would be saved that day. The Spirit used him. The Spirit possessed him. The Spirit used the apostles and preachers that came after them. The Spirit used the fathers of the church, Christians that followed through history. And the Spirit uses you today. The Spirit fills you up. If you go back and remember what Luther says about the Holy Spirit in his small catechism, he writes that helpful explanation. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. I can't believe. We really believe that we can't believe. That's what we say. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified me, and kept me in the true faith. Kept me in the true faith. The Spirit is not indispensable or at your disposal. But the Spirit uses you. The Spirit is in you. And the Holy Spirit possesses you. And then you start to look a little different. Just as any possessed person, filled with new wine, perhaps, you do someone else's will. And people will notice it. Because you won't be acting like everyone else. You'll be honest and genuine with those around you. You won't be speaking those blunt truths, but you will actually be patient with difficult people and showing love and care. You'll speak kindly concerning your brothers or sisters. And I'm not talking about just the family, but your family of the church. When everyone outside of our community who has nothing good to say about that one annoying person, you will defend that person in the kindest ways, even if you disagree with them or find them a little annoying. You also, possessed by the Holy Spirit, will sacrifice for your kids in a way that the world does not understand. That's not just to say, give them money when they ask for it, or leave work to help them move, or even drop everything when a crisis occurs. Those things are easy to do. I'm talking about setting aside your personal time, setting aside what you like to do, so that you can schedule time with your own families, and with your family of the church, to grow together and to be in one another's company, to talk on the phone with them, even if there's nothing to talk about. It's about that relationship that we have in the Spirit. As one possessed by the Spirit, you will sacrifice your time doing what you like to continue to develop your relationships with the people that matter in your life, with the people here. And that's how we share in one another's burdens. And all that time that you spend going to dinners, helping with that project, and even the time you spend here worshiping. People just might be wondering why you do the things you do. Well, the reason? Well, you may not want to tell them that you're possessed, but it is because the Holy Spirit's in you, and you are in Jesus Christ. Even still, there remains another spirit, an old spirit, who hasn't completely gone away. And this spirit, he seeks to break you down, to drag you down to hell. And this spirit fights every day to tempt you into carelessness, into wicked living, to make it all about me. And he'll do what he can to take you and possess you. That spirit needs to be put to death. That spirit needs to die every day. And that's why you're here. That's why you pray. That's why you seek out a brother or sister in the faith. And that's why you turn back to God, because it is in Jesus Christ that that old spirit dies and you're raised to new life, and the Holy Spirit claims you, takes a hold of you to do God's will and not your own. I'm sure you're like me and you might be watching, hearing the news and taking a look at what's going on a lot lately. Maybe you say this like I do. What's gotten into people? It seems that every angle is up for grabs. The injustice, or there's murder, there's, I guess, racism, greed, and thievery, and malice and destruction. And there's a chance that we can make a huge change, a positive change. Or there's sometimes change that seems a little too negative. There's a lot of times to let out our anger, or there's just ways people are trying to get a grasp on reality. And I sometimes wonder what's gotten into people. And we could chalk all these things up to sin and the broken world, but that would make it too easy for us not to care. But it does mean we too are sinful and broken, and that old spirit needs to die in us. I can't really be sure what that old spirit looks like in each and all of you, and I don't know what's gotten into people. But I can assure you who's gotten into you. On this day of Pentecost, not only do we remember God the Father and His Son sending the Holy Spirit to fill His apostles to preach and teach God's truth to the world, but that the Spirit's work continues today to fill you up and to reveal to you God's reality, the truth of His gospel, and to keep you firm in that faith. The Spirit's work continues so that you may go and speak God's truth, God's promises to the people that need to receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit, to be helped, to be guided, and even to be used. God will take care of that old spirit, because you've received the Spirit of the living God. It is a great gift that God would send and use people like us to express and reveal His reality to the people who desperately need the Spirit's work. The Spirit's in you. And in your day-to-day, that's where the Spirit's living, loving, and caring for our neighbor. Continue to do what the Lord has given you to do, and let the Holy Spirit use you to accomplish God's purposes. He is the gift from a loving and gracious God. And it's in His name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue by making confession of that faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 8 of our bulletin. As you're able, please stand.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing our hymn, Holy God, we praise thy name. Please be seated. Gracious Lord, your Spirit fills the world and gladdens your church with the remembrance of all Christ Jesus has spoken. By your Spirit, you have established your holy church on the proclamation of Christ, our Savior. Glorify his name among us in every word and deed, and sustain the apostolic preaching to the end of the earth, that in every tongue the mighty works of God in Christ may be heard. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
God of comfort, give us hope in the midst of this world. Put your spirit within us to believe, to live, and to serve. Lead our homes to confess our confidence in our power to raise the dead. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, your Son acknowledged Satan as having limited rule of this world and its ways. Yet his reign is judged and time is short. Beat back his lies and deadly work, that the order of your creation may be seen and brought into reality. Give us good government and leaders who are both honest and just. Continue to sustain us, and let us look eagerly for your Son's return, and let that be quickly. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, let your Spirit rule in our homes, and abide in our faith in you. Let your Spirit will continue to guide our families to follow Jesus Christ and live under his gracious rule. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
We call on your name, O Lord, praying in your Spirit to help and save. To save all, especially Major, Wayne, Sanda, Pastor Fleck, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thirza, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, and Esther. And all who suffer in our midst from sickness of body and mind and every other power of the enemy. Renew the face of the earth, look with favor on your creatures, and fill the hearts of your faithful, kindling in them the fire of your love. We also lift up your beloved Spirit-filled children who are unable to gather with us, especially Sanda, Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thurston, Jim, and Alex. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Lord, send your Holy Spirit upon your faithful people, and in repentance and faith, receive the things of Christ and clearly himself. Unite us by your Spirit in truth, in faith, and love. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, through your Son, you promised your Holy Spirit, who would convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Enlighten our hearts, so that we confess our sins, obtain everlasting righteousness through faith in Christ, and through every trial and temptation, abide in the consolation that Christ is Lord over the devil, death, and all things, and that he will graciously deliver us from all affliction to make us partakers of eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to
do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand, poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this, the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power.
bucket and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Please be seated as we sing. Distribution with starting on this side, single file, and then move to this side.
Thank you.
body of Christ broken for you. As you're able, please stand. Now may this, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in his peace.
Amen. Amen.
We sing together. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give you thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us and through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless me, the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, Sent Forth by God's Blessing. Please be seated.